Welcome to Awakened Path Radio, helping to spread love and light for the highest and greatest good. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Candace Nadine Green, spiritualist minister and healing minister. For more information, including show updates, courses, workshops, events, resources, and more, visit my website at www.awakenedpathonline.com. Again, that's www.awakenedpathonline.com. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and happy new year, everyone. Happy 2019. And I have some great news for you. Starting this month, Awakened Path Radio will be airing three times a week. That's right, three times a week. We will be on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. On Sundays, we'll have Sunday talks, which will be inspirational talks and things to guide you through the week. On Mondays, it's Inspirational Mondays, again, which is something uplifting that we'll hear from a guest who will be on our show, and then there'll be Thought Thursdays, which will interview people who will give you something to think about, to ponder for the remaining of the week. So for our new series, Thought Thursdays, today we have a guest, Karen Alyssa. She is known to many as Jesus, but she began her relationship with Yeshua as a child, and over the years, she has honed the ability to interact and collaborate with him through both her own personal development and her work with others seeking guidance. She is a catalyst for spiritual growth and personal transformation. She has honed her abilities as a change agent in the metaphysical and energetic arts for more than 40 years, practicing as a spiritual advisor, clinical hypnotherapist, teacher, and energy practitioner. She has helped people from all walks of life to realign to their highest truth so they are better able to pursue their dreams and their ambitions. Thank you for coming on our show for Thought Thursdays, Karen.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me be here. I'm just delighted.
And so are we. Now, I purchased and read some of your book, Journey of a Prophet, is a channeled book.
Fantastic.
Now, yeah, it's an awesome book. Now, I bet people are wondering, how did this happen? Why not it happened to me? How did this opportunity come to you in regards to you being chosen to be a channel for this book?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, Candace. As you mentioned in what you said about me bringing me onto the show, I've known Yeshua since I was a child. He would come to me and help me through some very dark and difficult times. My childhood was not easy. Mm-hmm. And I maintained that relationship, personal relationship with him throughout my life. And what was different about the relationship that I forged with Yeshua than from some that I heard from other people I knew that had a relationship with Jesus is that I could actually see him. I could actually hear him and have a conversation with him, whereas most people just feel him in their life, in their heart, whatever their personal relationship with him was. Mine was more visceral, if you will, and more flowing. It just was the way it's always been for me, and I didn't know him or life to be any different. Later in my life, he asked me several times if I would help him write a book about his human journey through life. But I was a frightened person in that respect. I didn't think that I could withstand whatever society would throw at me if I put a book out with what looked to me to be heretical information, mm-hmm. information that went against churches, doctrine, went against much of what was in the Bible. And so I would turn him down. In fact, one day he asked me, and it was exactly the same day that Salman Rushdie had a fatwa put on his life for including Muhammad, the prophet, in one of his books. And it was like, it just cemented it for me. It was like, no, I can't do this, Yeshua. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. But life has a way of bringing things around to you. In 2010, I had an emergency surgery, and I came through the surgery just fine, but I died in the recovery room. Wow. And I thought that was it. I thought life was over and I was going to stay on the other side. That was my very strong feeling. But the medical professionals revived me. And when I came back to this life, to this body, I just couldn't figure out why. I kept asking, why am I here? Why did I come back? What do I have left to do? Because I didn't want to be here anymore. Oh. The other side was just very beckoning and very seductive, and I wanted to be there, not here. I just lay in the hospital room while I was recovering. I was listless. I didn't have any interest in what the doctors or nurses were saying or doing to me. I couldn't find a reason to care about this life.
Wow.
But then one day, Yeshua, sitting next to me, kind of leaned into my ear. He said, "You think this might be a good time to help me write this book?" And I can't even begin to describe how that felt. It was like this big, you know, wow, this is it. It was an immediate rush of acceptance. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was my project and this is why I was back.
Right. You had something to do.
I had something to do. Yes.
Now, you refer to Jesus as Yeshua.
Right? Yes.
Now, I mean, in a predominantly Christian society, we hear Jesus. How did he tell you, hey, my name is Yeshua? I mean, how did that happen? How did you know to call him Yeshua?
Yeshua? Uh-huh. Well, started when I was a kid. I was maybe only five the first time I remember him sitting on my bed with me at night and calming my tears and my fears. Mm. And he told me his name was Yeshua. Now, at that age, I didn't quite understand the word Yeshua. I thought he said Joshua, which of course it's the same name, Yeshua, Joshua. It's the same name, just pronounced differently. Mm-hmm. And he said other people called him Jesus, but that I could call him by his familiar name, which was Yeshua. And Yeshua is actually what he was called in that lifetime. That's his Hebrew name. Mm. Jesus is a name that came to us through the machinations of changes from this language to that language to this other language over the years. And I don't know the exact etymology of the name Jesus versus Yeshua, but he told me his name is Yeshua, Yeshua.
That is amazing. You were so young and you were in contact with him. Were you afraid?
No, not of him.
Saw him?
Ever. No. It was the feeling that came from him was so loving, so kind, so amazingly empathetic and compassionate that it wouldn't be possible to be afraid of him. I don't think I ever could, ever would. I don't know who would be afraid of him. If he actually came and sat next to you, there'd be an immediate melting of your heart into his. I can't imagine it being any other way.
That's so beautiful. Now, going back to when you were a child and when you were visited by him, did you share it with anyone? And if so, how did they react? I mean, did you say, look, what happened to me?
The short answer is no, not at that time, not when I was a child. I grew up in a house that was old world Italian Catholic. So my grandmother worshipped in the same way that her ancestors had for hundreds of years. Her parents had come, were immigrants from Italy. And we lived just two blocks from one of the California missions. So the way that life was for us in our house was a little different than many modern Americans might experience, because in our house, as was the case for the old world, our ancestors were part of our life. So it wasn't unheard of for, say, we're watching television and maybe my grandmother would pop up with to my father, Jay, Nona is standing behind you and she has something she wants to say to you.
So it was prevalent.
Yeah, so seeing people who were no longer living or didn't have bodies was not unheard of. My mother has a very famous story that she liked to tell when she was still in her earthly body, of my sister was about 3 years old and she was doing dishes at the kitchen sink, and Nona, who was my great-grandmother, appeared next to her, put her hand on my mother's shoulder and said, "Where's Kathy?"
Wow.
And my mother said, "Gosh, I don't know." She looked out the window, didn't see Kathy in the yard, ran outside, and Kathy was sitting in the middle of the street.
Oh.
My mother ran and grabbed her out of the street just as a Mack truck came around the corner. Would have smashed her.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So those kinds of experiences were common in my household. So I don't think I thought there was anything strange about someone who didn't have a body coming and sitting on my bed talking to me.
That's amazing. Well, that's good. I mean, because, you know, I mean, I grew up the same way, was seeing with a lot of that it was normal to see spirits, you know, people who no longer were in their earthly bodies. But a lot of people that I've talked to on this show haven't had that situation, and then they were ostracized or they were told to be quiet because their family did not, number one, didn't believe them, and also thought if they told someone that word would get out and they'd feel embarrassed or ashamed, called crazy, all those sorts of things. So it's always
What a rich upbringing you had. That's wonderful.
No, thank you. Well, it wasn't all that great, but you know, I mean, that part was there. So.
Well, now I did get that, but I didn't get it in the home. When I first started going to school, public school, then I learned very quickly, you don't talk about these things.
You got to be quiet. It's unfortunate, but it's true. You don't want to be picked on or bullied or called all sorts of names. So that's, I mean, when I was a child too, I thought it was normal. I thought everyone was like me. So I went to school. I was so young. And then I went to school and I started sharing with everyone. And they said, "You're crazy. You're a witch." And da-da-da-da-da. And I learned fast. Keep my mouth closed at school.
Keep it closed. That's right.
Now back to your book. I mean, we talked about Yeshua. I probably keep saying it wrong. But tell us.
Doesn't matter.
Tell us what exactly, I mean, it's a thick book. So what exactly is it about? I mean, what is it about?
As you might guess, from what Yeshua asked me, if I would help him write a book about his life, it is specifically about his first years on earth, his human life. The book is written in the first person, and it reads like an epic adventure novel for much of it. But it's not a novel. It's his life. It's channeled information from Yeshua. But what I did for Yeshua is a little bit different than just, say, taking verbatim channeled information and, right, and putting it into a manuscript. Mm-hmm. I did what any good ghostwriter would do. I interviewed the subject matter expert. In this case, it was Yeshua, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I dove into his motivations, his emotions. I got him to talk about his fears, his joys, his recollections of people around him. And their motivations. And of course, he talked a lot about the astounding adventures that he had in his life. And then I got the privilege of word crafting all of that information into a book that would read well and be accepted by the reader as, you know, easy to take in.
So you actually had a conversation with them, which is fantastic.
Many, yes.
And how long, I mean, was it every day? I mean, how long did it take you to transcribe, to write down his experiences, his talks?
Well, beginning work on the book to when the book was found its first publication was 5 years. Wow. And it didn't take all that time to write. Of course, once you write these things down, then there's edits and edits and edits and trying to figure out what's the best way to say this versus that. The nice thing was Yeshua was there to help me with the whole process. Mm-hmm. He was, we kind of worked it out in the beginning. I said, Yeshua, you are the last word on what is in the book. Mm-hmm. I'm the last word on how that's presented and how mm-hmm. that's said. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we kept to that throughout the entire time that we worked together on the book.
It's a very good arrangement.
Yeah.
Now why do you think, or did he tell you, why it was so important that his story be told? I mean, when there's the Bible out there that people have been believed for, you know, thousands of years, despite sure. the fact that there are so many studies and talks about that, it's not really accurate. Right. So, and I mean, that upsets a lot of people in the Christian world, but hey, so why did he want you to write this? Why was it important for this story of his life to be told? What do you think?
Well, he's made that very clear to me, and I believe he makes it clear in the book. There are a few places in the book where he does talk about that very thing. Why is this information coming out now? And he says he's working on helping us bring our human experience to a new level, one where we're not subjugated spirits. Instead, we're free, mm-hmm. free from fear, free from pain. This is where he wants humanity to go. And his teachings on how to attain this as a collective and as individuals, it's been thoroughly obscured and tainted over time by misinformation. Mm-hmm. So he wants to set the record straight and help more people find freedom, more people to find him as he really is, not as a golden boy standing on a pedestal with nothing to say to you, saving you from yourself when you don't even know who yourself is.
Right. That's, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because a lot of messages, channeled messages, even from the various teachers and ascended masters, really say the same thing.
Yes.
Is that, you know, they want for the humanity to ascend, ascend the levels of existence.
Absolutely.
Find themselves who they really are. And I mean, there are so many more people awakening these days. So it's actually a good thing. I mean, we still have a long ways to go, but at least we started somewhere.
Well, yes, absolutely. The human consciousness is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yes,
these
it
days.
Is.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's remarkable to witness too. Yeah.
There's a couple of paragraphs toward the end of the book that I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'll
read. Please. I was going to ask you to share as a glimpse of some of the life experiences, but go ahead.
Yeah, actually, this is about the question we're just talking about. Why is he bringing this information out? And he says, nearly all people living on the planet at this time carry a partial string of my genetic code in their DNA. Mm-hmm. And there's a strong chance that you, reading this book right now, are one of those people. So when I say I'm with you, in you, I mean it literally. I'm in your life. I'm ready to join with your heart, and I'm literally in your genetic structure. You carry enough of my DNA to support a change in you that can, if activated, speed your growth toward higher consciousness. If enough people hear this call and activate this genetic code, you can collectively speed all of humanity past the spiritual subjugation to which humans still seem tied. Given that you're reading this book, there's a strong chance you already feel a call to step up your vibration and become more conscious. Mm-hmm. And part of that call is the desire of the DNA to activate. Mm-hmm. Anything I did in my lifetime, you can do. Anything I learned, you can learn. Anything I've worked for, you can realize. It has everything to do with intention and everything to do with choice. The blueprint for becoming the next level of human is already inside you. You merely need to answer the call with intention and turn it on.
Amazing. And I just wanted to say, I have such, what a synchronicity. I haven't gotten that far in the book, but hearing that just brought to mind a show that I was watching a couple of nights ago on Gaia that talked about the same thing, about we don't know all of our genetic code. And it talked about Jesus and extraterrestrials and the beginnings and what really is in our DNA that we need to activate, to uncover. And I mean, what you said is a exact same thing that was on the show. It was such a synchronicity.
How beautiful.
and it's so wonderful to witness and see these synchronicities and get this validation.
Yes.
And as we were just saying a few minutes ago, the consciousness is opening, is awakening, and also ascending. So all of that's happening. And it's so amazing. I just got chills just with that.
Yes, me too.
Now, is Yeshua the only person you've channeled?
Oh, no. He's the main being that I channel, that I talk to and receive information and teachings from now. But over the years, way back in the 80s, I used to channel several different beings. I don't even actually remember all of their names. A Dr. Peebles, a man named Peter. But I kind of moved into channeling most often James, who is the brother of Yeshua, the brother of Jesus. And I trans-channeled him, and he came through and talked to many, many of my clients, would help them a lot. And then one day, Yeshua came through for one of my clients. Wow. And that was the first time I publicly channeled him rather than just a little conversation in my head, you know. And so that went on for several years, my trans-channeling Yeshua. But then I stopped trans-channeling because I don't know if you know this, but, and it may not be true for all people, but at least my body was not taking to trans-channeling very well. The change of vibration was so abrupt when I would trans-channel someone in that it was taking a toll on my body. So I stopped trans-channeling, but never stopped actually channeling him in my head and, you know, writing papers and helping people who were around me. Yeah.
Channeling both regular channeling and trans channeling, it can definitely wipe you out, take a lot out of you.
Yeah.
There are many mediums who I converse with often who tell me they have to take breaks. They have to take breaks because they get sick if they don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's very hard on the body.
Oh, it is. I mean, your whole being changes when you're channeling someone else's vibration.
Yes.
And people don't know that. I mean, who don't do this work, they don't understand that they need a break. We need a break. You need to relax, have a cup of tea, whatever, and get back your strength and wait a while.
Absolutely. Yes. And I was doing it a lot. Mm-hmm. I was helping a lot of people and it was taking a toll on my body. I was not able to recover and I was going into some illness cycles that I didn't want to perpetuate.
Oh boy. Yeah. Now, does Yeshua have any other plans for you to get his messages out or his teachings or anything else?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Oh great. Great.
There's a lot of things in the works. There are more books. Wow. There's coming out very soon. I'm hoping within the next 4 weeks.
Wow.
We're beginning a podcast, a series called Yeshua Says.
And
it'll be a little podcast, only about 10 minutes in length. But each segment, we're going to ask Yeshua a question, and we'll get to hear his answer directly.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's going to be, keep us posted. That's going to be awesome. So since we're talking about that, how are we going to be updated and how are we going to, for our listeners, know what you're up to or look more into, the teachings?
Well, it's pretty easy to, get information about what's going on with me or with Yeshua in that respect. There's two websites. One is mine called, CorinneAlyssa.com, and I'll spell that. It's K-A-A-R-I-N as in Nancy, A-L-I, S as in Sam, A, CorinneAlyssa.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can read, you know, when books come out, they'll be posted on the books page, and you can always get in touch with me by using the contact form at that website. But there's also a website associated with a book called journeyofaprophet.com. Mm-hmm. And journeyofaprophet.com, smushed together like it's all one word. And you can learn more about the book, and there's a tidbits blog, which I don't update very often, but every once in a while something will come to me to put there. And so there's things going on there. You can sign up for a mailing list at journeyofaprophet.com. And they'll very soon there's going to be a little present that you can get for signing up for the mailing list. But I'm trying to decide. There's a couple of things I'm trying to decide to give people. So I won't say right now exactly what it is.
Presents are always great.
Presents are great, yes. And so either of those websites, that website also has a contact form that you can email me.
Well, Corinne, I mean, there is so much. We could talk all day. There's so much more information, wonderful things, and to uncover just by reading your book and going to your website. So you're really doing a great service to humanity with the work of Yeshua. So I applaud you and I thank you. I'm truly grateful.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. There's just so much. Do we have a little more time?
We certainly do. Go ahead.
Oh, great. One of the things I wanted to talk about today was what really is different about his life versus what's in the Bible.
Yes.
Sort of give people a little idea of what they might come across when they delve into the book. And, you know, before I talk about that, I really have to admit up front, I'm not a biblical scholar. Mm-hmm. I don't profess to know everything that's in that book. I've actually never read the entire Bible. So I've only read pieces here or mm-hmm. there. And but still some of the things that are different between the Bible and this book mm-hmm. are glaring, and they're obvious to mm-hmm. any lay person, whether you've read the Bible or not, because we do hear stories as a society, whether we've read the book or not, right?
Right. That is true.
So, you know, there's a lot of differences, but also there's similarities. And in some ways, I find the similarities fascinating, much more so sometimes than the differences. And when I began working with Yeshua on this book, I had a little bit of a prejudice. I thought the Bible was almost entirely not true, that that I would find, as we work together, very little coincident between the two accounts. And that ended up shocking me, in that isn't as true as I thought it might be. Yes, there's big difference, but there really are some of the biblical accounts that are very close to Yeshua's life. Such as when I asked Yeshua, was Mary really a virgin? You know, I expected him to say, oh my goodness, no, you know, Joseph was my biological father, but no. Mm-hmm. She really was a virgin. She was made pregnant by otherworldly intervention.
Oh my gosh. And I don't want to like cut you off, but I heard that on the show that I was watching a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
About Mary. They used the words ETs, extraterrestrials, because they were more advanced than our society. And they, you know, it wasn't angels, because angels also are, are otherworldly. And they are the ones who planted the seed in her.
That's absolutely correct.
So the DNA can be passed on to the human race. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just astonished at the synchronicity. You never believe it until it actually keeps happening and happening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
It's great. We're having a conversation. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love the synchronicities. I live by them.
Yes. There are no coincidences. And, you know, everything, you know, it's synchronicity. For real.
So, I mean, and when you say ETs, yes, there's a character in the book who was in Yeshua's life, and his name is Philar, and he was not human. And I hesitate to call him extraterrestrial, maybe extra-dimensional. These words, I'm not exactly sure what they mean.
Right.
I'm just not sure what they mean. So I hesitate to call him an extraterrestrial or an extra-dimensional, but he certainly was not human.
Right. I like that better, too.
He was a geneticist.
Oh.
And he's the one that made Mary pregnant. And Yeshua met him when he was about 7 or 8 years old. Joseph introduced him to her, introduced Yeshua to Philar. Joseph knew Philar because Philar was the one who was instrumental in helping Joseph understand that he should be Mary's husband, because Joseph didn't want to marry Mary. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to take on a family. He was an older man. He didn't want to take on another family. He didn't think it was right. And besides, he had been, this is not in this book, but it's in the next book that's coming out very shortly, called Mary and Joseph, an Uncommon Couple. We'll learn a lot more about how Mary and Joseph came together. And I'll be putting that book out probably this quarter. I'm sure this quarter, because it's done and ready to go.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait for that.
Anyway, Joseph had the job of keeping Mary safe because they knew Mary was going to be the vessel, and they needed to make sure that she was not either defiled or killed because there were people who did not want Yeshua to be born. Mm-hmm. And so Joseph got to know her. She was very young. She was only 13 when she gave birth to Yeshua.
Wow.
And very, very young.
That is young.
Very young. And so Joseph had been taking care of her for several years, making sure that she was safe. He had watcher rotations on her, you know, guards day and night. And he felt like a father to her. So when they came to him and said, "We want you to marry her," he was repugnant at the, you know, just like, yeah. No.
No way.
She's like a daughter to me. I can't marry her. That's absolutely ridiculous. So there was a whole mishigash of activity that had to happen to get Joseph to change his mind.
So they really did. I mean, I guess in the Bible, if I remember, if my memory is correct, he was visited in the Bible. He said he was Joseph was visited by an angel who told him. So, and so it was really Frillard, right? Who visited him?
In Mary and Joseph, in the book Mary and Joseph, that'll be coming out soon. He's visited by Raphael, and the archangel Raphael, and Joseph didn't believe him, and he said, "Well, maybe somebody else can come, and you'll believe him." And that's when he met Phalar.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to give away the book, but that's awesome.
Yeah. So in Journey of a Prophet, Yeshua meets Phalar when he's 7 or 8 years old. I don't remember which now, but when he's just a boy, and he gets to know him over the years. He becomes a very good friend and helper. And Phalar had a team of people that were almost always watching Yeshua, because I think a lot of people don't realize the political intrigue that was going on around the world at that time. There were large groups of people who did not want Yeshua to be born, period. And he was stalked. There were assassination attempts against his life over and over and over throughout his life. It was a very dangerous time. And so there's 3 or 4 of those are outlined in the book, but certainly couldn't put all of them in. Some of the people who were my early readers said, "Well, why didn't you put in this? And why didn't you put in this?" I said, "Oh my goodness, the book's already 500 pages long. I just can't put everything in, you know." But we put in enough to make it clear that he was being stalked, and assassination was around the corner almost his entire life.
So there were other people who were aware of other maybe seers, I suppose, who were aware that Yeshua was being born.
Yes, absolutely. It was not a secret. Among many many groups across the planet. The Bible talks about the 3 wise men. Mm-hmm. Well, there weren't just 3 wise men. There were people all over the planet that knew he was coming in.
Wow.
And he had been prophesized throughout many thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And we know that he was prophesized in the Torah, but he was also prophesized in other areas of the world where people studied other religions. And there was a being that Yeshua learned about in his teachings when he was very young, called the Great Teacher, who had come to earth 35,000 years before Yeshua was born and spread a lot of teachings around the world. Some of those teachings eventually got codified into the Vedic texts that we now have and can read. But they were passed verbally for many, many years. And that being, the Great Teacher, is the one that was prophesied to come back. And Yeshua is the that being coming back to earth. His soul is that being coming back to earth.
Is it incarnation of that being?
Yeah, incarnation of that being, yes.
Wow. That's so, I mean, it's so deep. So it deep. And I know it might cause such an uproar in the Christian community. Have you had any flack from people who don't believe what you're saying? in your book?
Not yet. Surprisingly so, but I've had many people of the church, pastors, reverends, who have written me saying, oh my goodness, I'm turning my entire flock onto this book because it answers questions that we all have that we can't find answers for in the Bible.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, with I'd hope more leaders get turned on to the truths in your book.
I do hope so. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to say, look, this is the last word.
Right.
It's a word. Mm-hmm. And it's one that my readers have overwhelmingly told me just makes them feel like finally they have a footing of understanding Yeshua, and they have a way of grasping their relationship with him that's much, much deeper and much more intimate than they've been led to believe that they can have.
Now, what message would you like to leave our listeners with today? Something that thought provoking that they could carry with them throughout the week, regards to your writing. Tough question, probably.
Yeah, the Yeshua's teachings, of course, are highlighted in this book, but more so his life than his teachings. He didn't want it to be overly filled with his teachings, but they are in there. In fact, I'll mention before I say this other thing that there's more than 200 direct quotes from Yeshua and from James and from his wife Miriam and others in the book that are direct quotes about his teaching or about him as a person. And so those teachings are scattered throughout the book. Then there's also some things called gathering talks, which are him talking directly to the audience as if they were in Galilee or Judea, sitting and listening to him talk out in the countryside. So there's the three or four of those in the book too. So his teachings are in there. But one of the things I want to leave people with is that if you were to synthesize his teachings down to just one little nut, he says, be love, give love, receive love.
I love it.
That is the essence of life. And when you learn that and you do all three, you will be invincible. You will be able to do anything you want to accomplish in this life. You'll be able to accomplish. You'll leave one of those three things out and you will live a life of pain.
That's be love,
give love,
receive love. That's beautiful. So again, thank you, Karen, for being on our show today.
Thursday,
and I just like, you know, for you to repeat all your contact website information for our listeners so we can keep abreast of what's going on.
Sure. You can get a hold of me through the contact pages at one of two websites. One is KarinAlissa.com. That's KarinAlissa, as in Sam, A.com. Journey of a Prophet, same name as the book, JourneyOfAProphet.com.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you on the show today.
That was a delight, Candace. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, you can visit www.awakenedpathonline.com. Again, that's www.awakenedpathonline.com. For show updates, courses, workshops, events, resources, and more. I'm Reverend Dr. Candace Nadine Green, and thank you for listening to Awakened Path Radio. Namaste, and blessed be.